Grace be unto you and peace from God, from our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I shall read tonight from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, from verse 51 unto 62. The words are heard in Jesus' name. And when it came to pass, when a time was to come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in a way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. The time that Christ was to be taken into heaven was close. Christ was journeying from his home city of Capernaum to Jerusalem, where he was to be suffer and die and arise victorious. With Jesus were his disciples, the 12, who he picked himself. They walked the road that led into Jerusalem. They left their city, their home city, and now they entered Samaria. Usually, the Jews traveled a road that was longer, for they did not want to travel through Samaria, for they were kept, as they had a wrong doctrine. They were a mixed breed, and the Jews wanted nothing to do with them. Of course, it could be the Samaritans thought the same way of the Jews. But nevertheless, they were traveling along the road and entered a village of Samaria. He sent his servants of the word to walk before him to prepare a place for himself and the disciples. When the messengers came back and told what greetings they had, especially brother Jacob and John heard these greetings, they became angry that the Samaritan village, that not one home was found where Christ could sleep for the night. And for this reason, these brothers, they were, James and John, were called as the boys of thunder. That Lord, do you wish that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, these Samaritans? Doesn't this sound quite strong, that they want to destroy the Samaritans because they would not accept Christ into their homes? What did Elias do? The apostles knew that happened about 800 years before. A king ruled Israel for about 2 years. He served the ungodly, and God was angry over this when someone serves the idols. And this king fell through a window and became he broke bones, was in very bad shape, and he sent messengers to the king, asked the king that will he become well or die. And these people met Elias, who said that the king will no longer rise from his sick bed. And when these messengers went and said the greetings of Elias, and he sent 50 more men to Elias, and Elias said the greetings of God and explains why God had said in this way, for the king worships idols, that if I am a man of God, may the fire come from heaven and consume you. These greetings that James and John had heard or read about earlier, what did Christ say? Christ turned and rebuked them and says unto them, you do not know what matter of spirit ye are of, when you ask for such a revenge towards the Samaritans who did not receive Christ. And he continues, that the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. God did not send his Son to destroy the souls of man, but he came for that reason, that he would save mankind from sin. And John in the Gospel writes, so had God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that no one, not one, who believes upon him would be damned, but would inherit everlasting life. Such a great love that the Heavenly Father has. Towards his created people, that he sacrificed his own son who came to fulfill the will of God, so that man would not have to be damned. But yet these two disciples wanted revenge. Are not also you and I, we have that old portion, the flesh and blood, that we may react in the same way when things do not go like we wish. That I would hope that a person, that God would give a good teaching to that person. Or that, I've said, I could never forgive that. How difficult such a person who is so, has a heart that is so bitter, that I could never forgive that. But Christ teaches that if you do not forgive one another, that Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That is in a church law of Christ. And here Christ rebuked and taught his disciples, especially the two. The evening is quite late. It's probably quite late. But Christ continued on his way, just as he instructed his disciples that if they do not accept you, go to a new place. Well, they continued towards Jerusalem. And a certain man comes and says in this way, I will follow you wherever you go. We could think that Christ had a good mind when he met such a person who was ready to follow him. It could be that when he said these words, that it could have been a young person who had heard of Christ or heard of Jesus, how remarkable man he was, and how secure it is to travel with such a man. As disciples also experienced this security, they never had distress when they were with Christ. He calmed storms, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and awaken dead people. This young person thought that it is good to journey with such a man. Could we not think that Jesus was happy when he met such a man or boy? But Jesus answered in a strange way, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere where he could lay his head. He does not try to bribe people to come, that it would be good in a temporal way, but here he explains what the road is like journeying here on earth. That You must pick up the cross and follow me every day. Think of this. Think of the life of Jesus. What was his birthplace? Think. He was a Lord of heaven and earth. He had his place of birth, for it was a trough in a barn, a trough meant for animals, robed in swaddling clothes. In Bethlehem, there was no room. There was no room in the homes of people, as Joseph and Mary had come there to pay their taxes. It was not very high, this birth of Christ. How about the place where he died? For this journey is heading towards Jerusalem and death. Let's remember with a few words. When Christ was sentenced to die, he carried his own cross to the hill of Golgotha. There were two evil men on either side of him when he was in the middle cross on Golgotha. He was also able to comfort his mother. Three men were dying on the cross. How different were these three men? On both sides of Christ were two thieves. The other thief asked, ridiculed, ridiculed words that the soldiers encouraged him to say. But the other evil person rebuked the other thief and said, "We deserve this death, but this man who was in the middle did no bad." And after this, he turned to Christ. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom. Remember me when you come in your kingdom." That man said no more. And Jesus was ready to preach the forgiveness of all sins. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Is this not a remarkable, this confession? No more words except, "Remember me when you come with your kingdom." And even today, you, who because of sin, who have left the kingdom of God, you do not have to do anything else but ask, "Can I believe my sins forgiven," as we heard of the prodigal son, and we remember what type of mind Jesus had, not only there on the middle cross of Golgotha when he prayed, "Father, give unto them, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, what they did." And his head bowed, and he gave up the spirit. So securely, Christ died. And in the same secure way, we can leave our own life in the arms of our Heavenly Father, for he knows our life. He knows every day. He knows what the future will bring. But when we think what type of mind Christ had, the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, that he gave himself reputation, gave up his reputation, and came as a form of a servant, and lived for about 33 years as a man amongst people." And now the apostle says, "Let this mind be in you," meaning you and me, the mind of Christ. Much has been spoken of this here at Anikoski. What is the mind of Christ? He is never asking for revenge, but he always, that every time when a person asks for himself the forgiveness of sins or some other issues, Christ stopped and he had time to listen. And he always wanted to help him who needed help. And before all, give their sins forgiven to the repentant sinner. And Jesus said unto this young man, "How the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere where to lay his head." This spring and summer, we have been able to enjoyed the migrating birds. They have built their nests, the eggs, and the eggs have broken, and little birds, and they have fed the little birds for the heavenly bird is free and eats from nature, as God gives everyone food in their own time. That a fox has a nest, a fox has holes, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. We do not know where this man went, but it could be this man did not begin to follow Christ and his disciples. When he heard what type, how life is who follows Christ Jesus. For he who begins to follow Jesus Christ, he loses a lot from his former life, but he gains much more in his new life. And I have thought that this life of a believer, it's, at times it feels very sorrowful, or many have thought that is like walking in sorrow, this child of God, as a child of God. But when they have been able to receive the grace of repentance, they have seen it is not a road of sorrow, but a road of joy. A road of joy. And the journey continues. They are traveling a road in Samaria. Then a person came maybe came towards him, where Jesus asked, "Follow me." What did this person answer to Jesus? "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." God here explains, or calls this, or gives the invitation to this man into God's kingdom, that come and follow me. And this man was, or this person was, very polite, and then asks for a request that he cannot follow him at this moment. "Let me first go bury my father." Did Jesus not give permission to bury a close one? Are not funerals important for those who are left behind? I'm sure it is this way. We all know how important it is when one is blessed into the grave, when the casket is brought into the church, the priest walks in front, and there's music of sorrow. People are standing, and a casket is brought close to the altar. After the music, we go in to sit down in a bench, and then the blessing starts. I think many times in this way, it is a time that is very, very, very tender, and it's the most difficult activity for a priest of the church, for the people are listening very closely to the priest. Is he speaking from the heart at this funeral, or is he just repeating words from the text? When we are talking about funerals, you have to prepare very carefully for the very tender moment. And when those words are said, after the confession of faith, "From dust you have came, to dust you will become. Jesus Christ, our Savior, will awaken you on our last day. Never forget that third part, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, will awaken you on the last day. For the day of resurrection will be for the righteous and for those others." The last judgment is explained, how a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep are called to the right, and unto them are told, "That come ye, blessed of my Father, to own that kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And to those standing on the left side, those who did not want to repent, to accept God's gift, they hear a very sorrowful message: "Go away, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, which has been prepared for the enemy of the soul and his angels. That place was not meant for people, but it was made for the enemy of soul and his angels. God did not give permission first for that man to go to the funeral. Let the dead bury the dead. Go and proclaim God's kingdom. This is the right way that when man hears the invitation from God or someone else is speaking and asks that question, that would you like to repent to and begin to follow the Lord Jesus? Many people give certain reasons that there it is not time yet. As we sang in the song before the speech or the sermon. But if we move repentance onto tomorrow and the day after, a surprise may happen that a person might not never receive his, may never repent. So when you hear the words of Christ, be diligent and repent. And later here, we meet the third person who comes to say unto Christ in this way, that Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home. He has the kind of a same explanation as the one before him. But he wants to tell Christ that perhaps after I go tell my family or my home, I can come follow. Why did Christ not give him permission to go home and ask permission that it could be at that home may come such greetings that don't go follow him, that it is the worst place to go. And Jesus does not give him permission for the most important living faith is the most important of all, and becoming of a child of God is the most precious matter in life. And we could even say that being preserved as God's children is a very important matter. That is why Christ did not give permission to go and ask his home. First, repentance. Then he can go home. He that love man, mother or father, who loves mother or father or brother or sister more than me, they are not acceptable unto me, as Christ said. And even today, Jesus said here at the end, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The man who sows must always look forward. One portion from the Old Testament comes to mind when God sent two men, two angels, see how sinful life there was in Sodom and Gomorrah. They went to the home of Lot, and the angel said that God wants to destroy this city. And the angels told Lot to leave Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroys it. And these six people left from Sodom and Gomorrah. But then it is explained how Lot's wife stopped on the way, looked, turned around, and looked how God destructed Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was very dangerous. As the apostle says, remember Lot's wife, what happened? You all remember. She was turned to a pillar of salt. She stopped to see what was happening behind her. For a child of God must always face forward and look forward towards our destination. And even tonight, we can look forward and turn towards the Lord Jesus. And brother and sister, you can believe at this moment, you can believe all sins, all doubts, and travel faults forgiven in Jesus' name at precious atonement blood. Unto peace, joy, and freedom. What distress do we have? What do we have here? When a bloody cross be faithful unto death, I will give you the crown of life. In this way, Christ has promised us. And his promise is good until the end of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite in prayer. Holy and righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your good gifts that you have blessed upon us abundantly. We thank you for this Sunday that we have been able to enjoy before your holy word. And especially, we thank you for your salvation that you prepared through your Son, Jesus Christ, who, on the middle cross of Golgotha, gave up his life and gave his blood, holy blood, and that every person through him tonight and in the future can receive their sins forgiven. We thank you that you have offered at these services that great gift, this grace to those who are not have not been been partakers. We ask that you bless the word that is spoken and read here in the hearts of all men or everybody here, so it would bear fruit. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.